in the by-election in Hartlepool in England. Sean Whelan has all the details after this.
Friday, May 7th with RTÉ National Symphony Orchestra live. Two brilliant piano concertos by Haydn and Mozart, with Finian Collins directing both from the keyboard. Haydn's 11th and Mozart's 9th, the Jeune Homme. Joyful, uplifting music with gorgeous slow movements to calm both heart and spirit. Live streamed to rte.ie/culture and live on RTÉ Lyric FM at 7 p.m. See rte.ie/NSO.
This May, get creative and celebrate the arts. The Bealtaine Festival returns with an incredible celebration of arts and creativity. From performances, creative workshops and literature to discussions, visual arts and music. It will all happen online and feature some of Ireland's leading artists and creatives. Visit bealtaine.ie for details. Bealtaine is an age and opportunity initiative funded by the Arts Council.
RTÉ supporting the arts.
Supporting artists.
Supporting us.
You're very welcome back to Morning Ireland. It's 11 minutes past 7 and the Boris Johnson demolition of the so-called Labour Red Wall continues. The Conservative Party was widely tipped to take the former safe Labour seat of Hartlepool. Did they deliver in style? Well, Sean Whelan joins us shortly, but first, let's hear the announcement of the result.
I do hereby declare that Gillian Wendy Mortimer, commonly known as Jill Mortimer, is duly elected. Congratulations.
So that's a majority of about 7,000 for Jill Mortimer. Here she is now making her victory speech.
Thank you, Madam Returning Officer. Firstly, I want to thank the police and the council officers who have done an excellent job in ensuring that today's election and count went smoothly.
Jill Mortimer there for the Conservative Party, elected in Hartlepool. Sean Whelan, a bounce for Boris Johnson and quite the blow for Keir Starmer.
That pretty much sums it up. Yeah, I mean, that result that was declared only a few minutes ago because the COVID restrictions meant all the counting slowed down and the election result that you'd normally expect around 4 or 5 in the morning dropping, as I say, literally in the last couple of minutes, but not entirely unexpected. The Tories had targeted this seat for particular reasons, and they have pulled it off, though it is a rare feat. As we mentioned in the audio, it's only 4 times since 1950 that a governing party has gained a seat from the opposition during by-elections. By-elections normally tend to get won by the opposition in the British system. This is quite an unusual event for the Conservative Party, and there are quite a lot of particular factors in that seat. So interpreting it out to the wider state of British politics has to come freighted with a lot of caution, I think. Nevertheless, it is a big win for Boris Johnson, and you can be absolutely sure that the Conservative Party and their partisans in the Conservative leading press are going to be pumping this one for all it's worth and using it as a huge stick to batter the Labour leader, Keir Starmer, with.
There will be lots of parsing and analysing of this result, as you say, Sean, but will it be seen as part of that analysis as a verdict on Boris Johnson's handling of particularly the vaccine rollout in Britain? And will it be seen as well, when you look at Labour, as and used by those who are moving against Starmer as evidence of his failure to connect with voters? Or is this, you know, Hartlepool moving to the beat of its own drum?
I think it's elements of all three in there. Certainly, the vaccine rollout has been a popular thing in the UK. And why wouldn't it be? They have been ahead of everybody else, and they've done very well on that. It's one of the few absolutely clear bright spots that the government has had in its COVID handling, particularly during last year. Things weren't going well for them. But nevertheless, a government that has been in power in a country that has had a really, really high, one of the very highest in Europe, if not the highest death toll from COVID, has nevertheless won a by-election in very difficult circumstances. And yes, you'd have to attribute a lot of that bounce to the vaccine politic. Also, given that it has been this very strange pandemic period, it's been very difficult for an opposition party to do the normal business of opposition, i.e. oppose the government, because how do you set about opposing public health measures, which have all been introduced with the best intentions behind them? It's just a difficult thing to attack a government during a time of national emergency. They have been trying to attack Boris Johnson personally over the past couple of weeks over these allegations of sleaze around who paid for the refurbishment of the Prime Minister's apartment in 10 Downing Street. But the polling has been showing over the past couple of weeks that it hasn't really been cutting through to voters, particularly up in this by-election constituency, where the particular factors there seem to have come to the fore. And the one that I would point to has been Brexit. This constituency has an unusually high affinity with the concept of Brexit. It voted by 69% to leave back in 2016, compared, of course, to the national average of 52% leave. Also, in the last general election, it had an unusually high vote for the Brexit Party. They got about 26% of the vote there. The Tories got about 28-29%, and the Labour Party got 36%. 38%. So you can see that there was a big block of pro-Brexit votes waiting to go somewhere. And the Conservatives went into that constituency saying, we want those votes and we're going to get them, because we're the party that delivered what you people here voted for, which is Brexit. Boris Johnson delivered you Brexit. Now it's payback time. You need to vote for him. And they've done a good job in collecting those votes. Just looking at the way the votes have broken down, the Brexit Party last time got just over 10,000 votes. This time, a candidate for the Reform Party, which is son of Brexit Party, got just 368 votes. So you can see 10,000 votes went walkabout between the 2019 election and this by-election. Mm-hmm. And the vast bulk of those have landed with the Conservative Party.
And Sean, looking northward where you are yourself in Scotland, and lots of elections, of course, across the UK today, but none more interesting than Scotland. And if Boris Johnson has a smile on his face in Hartlepool, that smile could be wiped from his face in Scotland if Nicola Sturgeon gets that majority and presses for a referendum on independence, couldn't it?
Absolutely, it would. Boris Johnson went campaigning in the Hartlepool constituency three times during this campaign period. He didn't come to Scotland once. And that's because he's extremely unpopular here, extremely unpopular. Even the vaccine rollout isn't gaining much credit for him up here. Here, the issue is the national question. The Conservatives are fighting their campaign entirely on stop Nicola Sturgeon, stop the SNP, stop another independence referendum. That is the only issue up here in Scotland. And where Brexit has been a positive for the Conservatives, certainly in that constituency where they just won this by-election, and probably be the case in a few other parts of the north of England. And I'd look back to the European Parliament results from May 2019 for guidance as to where, but certainly the northeast of England, definitely one of those places where they would expect to pick up more votes in local council elections. It is having the exact opposite effect here in Scotland. They really don't like Brexit. Remember, they voted 62% to remain in the European Union. So Brexit is now a wedge. It seems to be driving England and Scotland further apart. And I think the election results coming out over the weekend are going to show that.
And Sean, 129 seats in play, I think, in Scotland. When do you expect to have a final result?
We're not expecting a final result there until tomorrow evening. at the earliest, frankly, because of COVID restrictions, all the counting has slowed down. That by-election result, as we say, was slow in being delivered. Normally, they're extremely fast. In Scotland here, there's a proportional representation system is being used, and that, of course, takes a bit longer to count as well. So they're going to start counting at 9 o'clock this morning. We'll expect most of the constituency seats to be filled, hopefully by this evening. But the list, party list, 56 seats there, they'll have to be counted later, and that'll slow things down a bit. So hopefully tomorrow evening we'll get a result there. As we said, Nicola Sturgeon looking for 65. That's the magic number for a majority, an absolute majority for her. But there will be a nationalist majority in that next Scottish Parliament, and they will be pushing for independence. This issue is not going away, and that will be Boris Johnson's big headache.
Sean Whelan in Edinburgh, thank you.